Well, the hymn writers certainly try to describe grace. They call it amazing, marvelous, and wonderful. And it's all of those things, but you still can't describe it, can you? It's the part of God's character that causes Him to be good to people who are not good to Him. It's undeserved kindness, unmerited favor. Aren't you thankful tonight He's a God of grace? Well, let's praise Him for that. Would you join me in prayer? Our Father in heaven, we are so thankful to be in church tonight and have an opportunity to be reminded of Your great grace. In a world where you kind of get what you pay for and sometimes people are worse to you than you are to them, we're glad that there's a relationship in our life where You are kind to us and good to us even when we don't deserve it. We're thankful that that's part of Your character, that You're a loving, merciful, gracious God. And tonight we'd be lost and we'd be in a real mess if it were not for Your grace. Well, we want to thank You for the opportunity that we have to be here tonight. We're looking forward to all that You have in store for us. Help us as we praise You to do our very best, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, not to care so much about what the people around us think while we're praising, but to care only about what You think. And we pray You'll look down from heaven and be pleased by the praise and worship we offer You tonight. We pray that You'd help Dr. Patterson as he comes to preach Your word here in just a moment. Please anoint him with the Holy Spirit. Give him the message that we need. And Lord, help all of us to be wide open to what Your word has to say to us. Even right now in these still moments at the beginning of the service, prepare our hearts to hear Your word and help us to make the commitment that whatever You say to us, that's exactly what we're going to do. Lord, we do want to pray for so many in our church family who are hurting, so many who've lost loved ones. Even today, I've heard of those who have grandchildren who've been in terrible accidents this week. I think of Shirley Orr, whose grandson was in a motorcycle accident. I pray that You'd help him. We think of Eugene and Sandra Montgomery, whose grandson was in an accident and is burned badly and in the hospital even now. Please heal him. Lord, we have so many needs. We know that You can sustain and You can help and You can give grace. Now, please bless the rest of this service and we'll give You glory for it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we're glad to have a guest preacher tonight who is certainly no guest. Well, we're thrilled to have Dr. Bill Patterson here to preach the word to us. Of course, Bill and Marcy are missionaries sent out by Worth Baptist Church. They are Bible translators. Brother Bill is a preacher. He's the president of Mount Abiram, the president of the Bethesda Children's Home in Mexico. Just about anywhere in this world, something good is happening for the cause of Christ. Bill Patterson has either been there or he's going there. And God has really used him. And it really is a blessing for us to be his sending church. He is not only a dear friend to many of us, but he is an anointed Bible preacher. And I know that the Lord is going to use his message tonight to encourage you. So I hope you'll have an open Bible and an open heart as Dr. Bill Patterson comes to preach here in just a moment.
Thank you. The music today has just been outstanding, and I have so enjoyed being here back at our home church. We are very grateful to be sent out of this church, and my wife and I, Marcy and I, are so thankful for many of you who pray for us, and we just want to say thank you. Pastor Gillett, thank you for the opportunity to be able to preach this evening. Please go with me in your Bibles to the book of Psalms, and we're going to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. If you know this psalm by heart, I'd like to ask you to quote it with me. But otherwise, if you'd like to read along, and we'll just kind of read it all together tonight. This is a very well-known psalm, and I'm very grateful for this psalm. I know for myself, it has been a great blessing to me many times in my life. Psalm 23. I'll give you just a moment to find it. Psalm 23. All right, let's quote this together. It says, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Heavenly Father, would you please speak to our hearts this evening as we consider your word, and may your name be glorified. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. There was a young shepherd boy, and he was on a mission. Oh, he had lost a sheep. He was going through a dark, deep valley. And as he wandered through that valley, there were shadows overhead, and at times he was probably tempted to turn around and go back home, and perhaps some would have even justified him allowing that one little sheep that had gone astray to be lost forever. But as he continued to put one foot in front of another, taking step after step, going deeper and deeper into the darkness, trying to find that sheep, he suddenly felt a presence, a power, a strength that was unknown to him before. I almost think that when David wrote this psalm, he was thinking back to a time in his youth when he was that little shepherd, when he had walked through the valley of the shadow of death. There is a place in Israel between Jerusalem and Jericho, a very deep, dark valley. It is called the Valley of the Shadow of Death because there is a part of that valley that never receives direct sunlight. In that area, there are wolves. It's known for thieves. It's the area where the story of the Good Samaritan was born. And it may well have been in that place where David, searching for a sheep, felt the presence of God in his life, and everything changed. Psalm 23 is quite possibly the best loved psalm of all time. As I looked around the room, as I was quoting Psalm 23, I noticed that many of you were quoting it with me. It's very likely that in the next few days, many of us will look to Psalm 23 and we may read it just as a reminder that even though we're going through difficult times in our lives, God has never and will never leave us. Many preachers have found in this psalm words to say to grieving hearts when there were no other words that they could use. And so I would draw your attention to this psalm. And I'd like to speak tonight on the subject of how to walk through a dark valley. It may be that you tonight are going through a dark, deep valley. A valley that you might even call the valley of the shadow of death. God does not want us to be paralyzed with fright and to be stand still when we go through those difficult times in our life. He also does not expect us to take off running away from that situation. He wants us just to continue to walk. Verse number 4 is our text. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I'd like for us to first of all think about these words tonight. The word yea, though, is actually a form of a conjunction, and it can mean things such as even though, although, also, or when. You see, it's not if we will one day walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It's when we will walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Every person in this room will one day walk through that valley. The first time that I remember going through that valley where it really made an impression on me, I was only 14 years old. I was a Sunday school teacher in Mexico, and a small boy in my class, 10 years old, was about to go in for what should have been a very simple surgery just to remove his tonsils. For some reason, his mother was a bit apprehensive, and she had asked me to come over to the home a few days before to pray with her son, who was in my Sunday school class, and I very gladly did so. I prayed for Salvador. And then we went to the hospital the day of the surgery, and we were all waiting, and really, there was kind of a light spirit going on there in the hospital room as we awaited the doctor to come back and tell us that everything had gone well. Suddenly, we received word from the operating room that it wasn't going very well. And within just a couple of moments, my father and the father of this young boy came walking back down the hallway. Both of them were crying, only to inform us that Salvador had passed away with a heart attack as he was in surgery. I'll never forget how I felt at that moment. Here's a little boy in my Sunday school class. I'm only 14. He's 10. He just died. This boy that I knew so well, that we had been together on so many different expeditions. I'll never forget little Salvador. It's not a matter of if. It's a matter of when we will walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Second thing that I see here in this verse is the word walk. We're just supposed to put one foot in front of the other and keep going. To be honest with you, it's not easy to walk through that valley. It's a harsh valley. It's a hard valley. And as we walk, we sometimes step on things that we dislike and things that cause us harm and pain. But we need to keep walking. As a matter of fact, the worst thing we could do is to stop and be standstill and transfixed, immobilized and paralyzed. That's never God's will. He wants us just to take the next step. Through the valley. That valley sometimes seems so long. While you're going through it, it's hard to see where the end of the valley is, as if maybe we'll never get out of this valley. And for some people, it may be that for the rest of your life, you're going to feel in one way or another that you're going through that valley. It's interminable. And yet, God wants us to go through the valley. He doesn't want us to stay in the valley of the shadow of death. He wants us to go through the valley. That next word, shadow of death, it's a single word in Hebrew. It's only used 9 times, 6 times in the book of Job, no surprise there. Once in Psalms, once in Isaiah, and once in the book of Amos. And it's a very unique word. It literally means shadow of death. Have you ever had someone pass away who's very close to you, and when that happened, you felt like a darkness came over you? It was as if there was no light. And you were surprised by this darkness that happens because of the death that is very close to you. The next thing we see is that the psalmist writes, I will fear. Oh, the word fear means to tremble, to quake with fear, to want to hide because of the emotion that is going through the heart. But this psalmist said, I will fear no evil. There is nothing bad, nothing evil. There is no reason to fear. I can keep going forward because, for thou art with me. Oh my. In Hebrew, that phrase is ki ata imadi. That word imadi is from the same root, im, where we get the word imanu, which means with us, Immanuel, God with us. Could I say about this particular phrase? This is the personalized Emmanuel. This is my Emmanuel. It's not just God with us. Here in Psalm 23, 4, it's God with me. It's not just that other people know about God. It's that I get to experience His presence in my life. The Bible then speaks of thy rod. Oh, this is a fierce, fierce weapon. A club. It was a stick that quite often would have a rock or something very sharp, very heavy, that could be thrown by the shepherd and would hit the wolf or whatever enemy was trying to attack the sheep. And the shepherd would practice throwing that weapon to protect his sheep. Thy staff. Oh, this is a tool, a strong tool that directs, that encourages, that guides the sheep, so that they will not go astray, so that they will walk in the way that they should go. And then the psalmist says, they comfort me. This word is very interesting because it has to do with encouragement. It has to do with a renewed heart for what we need to do. And the psalmist writes, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You see, God allows us to walk through dark valleys. Some people would suggest that when you come to know the Lord, you cease to have problems. No, that's not exactly true. What is true is that you cease to go through them by yourself. We find here in this passage that although we may never understand why God sends us through the dark valleys, we can understand how to go through the dark valleys. Number one, we need to look to the Lord. We must look to the Lord. In times of going through a dark valley, in order to continue going forward, we must look to the Lord. We've got to put our eyes on Him. We have to remember that He is there with us. What exactly does this mean to look to the Lord? Well, it means to notice what God's doing and praise Him. In the midst of your darkest valley, God is at work. God is doing things. If you look for it, you'll notice that this person is helping you to get something done, and another person is trying to encourage you, and another person is seeking to meet your needs, and another person is coming alongside you and standing with you in that situation. God is at work in the middle of those dark valleys. God does not leave us alone. We must notice what God is doing and praise Him and thank Him. Oh Lord, thank You for being with me in this dark valley. The Bible says in the book of Amos, chapter 5 and verse number 8. Listen to these words. Seek Him that maketh the seven stars in Orion. Now watch this. And turneth the shadow of death into the morning. The rest of the verse says, and maketh the day dark with night, that calleth for the waters of the sea and poureth them out upon the face of the earth. Listen to this last part. The Lord is His name. He turns the shadow of death into morning. Aren't you glad that when God goes with us through those dark valleys, that He knows how to turn the lights on? He knows how to help us. He knows how to be with us. He knows how to comfort us. And what we've got to do is look to the Lord and watch what He's doing and then praise Him for it. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 9 and verse number 2, the people that walked in darkness, the people that walked in darkness, you might say, well, that kind of resembles us. Our church is going through some dark days. This week is not going to be an easy week. There are many of you in this room whose hearts are totally shattered and broken. But I want you to notice what this says. The people that have walked in darkness have seen a great light. You need to look for it. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. As you go through this week, I want you to notice the little glimpses of light that God is going to shine down upon you, and you will say, that's God. Look what he is doing. Can I say it this way? It's almost worth it to go through the shadow of death in order to see the light that he wants you to see that maybe you would have missed otherwise. It's easier to see a gleam of light in a dark room than it is in a well-lit room. 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse number 11 says, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. You see, we don't just find God randomly. We find God when we're intentional. When we seek him, we will find him. When we seek him with all of our heart. And I pray that this week would be a week where that Worth Baptist Church, instead of giving up in despair, would look to the Lord and say, Lord, I want to see you and see you well and be able to feel your presence in my life. Because if we'll do that, oh, God knows how to show up. Big time. You see, that's what God wants us to do. So first of all, notice what God is doing and praise him. But secondly, notice what God wants me to do and obey him. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, you see, as you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you might say, okay, well, I'm just going to take some time off here. I'm going to cease being a Christian, cease being a person. I'm just, you know, at work they told me I need to take time off, and everybody else says I just need to take some time, and so I'm just going to take some time. Hold on a minute. God still has a plan, and he has something he wants you to do. I remember as I was just a small boy there in that hospital, and all of the buzz was going on around the room as we learned that Salvador had passed away. A nurse came with a little tray. She had some medicine on it. She went to the mother and she said, excuse me, I need you for a minute. And she said, okay, what for? She said, well, I'm going to give you a shot. She said, oh. Well, why are you giving me a shot? She said to help you calm down so that you won't get too excited, so that you won't be overstressed because of the loss of your son. And she says, well, I don't need that. She said, what are you talking about? She said, we always give this shot to anyone whose child just passes away. She said, I don't need that at all. I don't really want to kind of just go into a state of oblivion. She said, I have something much more powerful than that. The nurse said, what on earth did you take? And she said, I have the Lord. And the nurse said, what does that mean? And right then, she saw a little gleam of light, and she presented the gospel. And within a few moments, that nurse had bowed her head and prayed, accepting Christ as her Savior. You see, in the middle of walking through the valley of the shadow of death, there is something that we must notice that God wants us to do, and we need to obey him. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse number 29, but if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Wow. Psalm 27 verse number 8 says, when thou saidst, seek my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. You see, as we're going through the valley of the shadow of death, God wants us to look to the Lord. And what that means is to notice what it is that God wants me to do and then just obey him and do it. This week, you may have opportunities to present the gospel to people because of what you're going through, that you've never had opportunities like that before. When someone looks at you and says, oh, you're all dressed up on the middle of the week. Where did you just come from? Went to a funeral. Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, no, don't be sorry. They went to be with God in heaven. Oh, what are you talking about? Well, here, sit down for a minute. Let me talk to you about it. I'll explain it. Look for those opportunities. There will be opportunities this week if we look for them. And so first of all, if we're going to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we need to first look to the Lord. How to walk through a dark valley, number two, lean on the Lord. Lean on the Lord. Lean on the Lord. Don't think that you're up to it. Don't think, okay, I'm going to get myself all psyched up. I'm going to be ready for this week. I'm going to go work out, you know, at home tonight, and I'm going to be ready to go, and I'm just going to punch death in the face. No. That's not what this passage teaches us at all. What it says is we need to lean on the Lord. Lean on the Lord. Lean on God's direction and follow him. Do you remember what we talked about the staff? See, that staff, this staff which the shepherd held in its hand, it was a tool. It was a strong tool. But it was so smooth. It didn't have a single splinter on it. I mean, these things are worked out. They are just incredible. And the shepherd would just use it and would touch the sheep on the neck, and the sheep would suddenly go one way or the other because of the guidance that they would receive from the staff. Lean on God's direction and follow him. This week, don't necessarily make all kinds of plans like how you're going to do this or how you're going to do that. Just let God lead you. Some of you right now are probably worried about your part and what you've got to do and how this is going to affect you. And you're just concerned and you're a little overwhelmed and you say, I just don't know how I'm going to make it through this week. Just lean on God's direction. Just follow him. Let him guide you. He didn't bring you to this point to suddenly throw you into this situation and say, okay, figure it out, big buddy. That's not what God does. He brings us to this point and he says, I want to go with you. Every single step you take, every single moment you pass, I'm there. I'm here to help. God's going to guide. Oh, wow. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. See, what God wants us to do in these moments is just to lean on him, to follow him. Just do what he wants us to do. Oh, as the little sheep was going through the valley of the shadow of death, all the sheep didn't know what to do, but the shepherd did. Shepherd knew. See, we're like that little sheep. We're lost. We're saying, oh, what am I going to do? But we have to remember, we have a good shepherd. And he doesn't leave us alone. He's coming there behind us. He's going to help guide us out of that situation. He's going to help us to get through the valley of the shadow of death. But leaning on the Lord isn't just to lean on his direction. It's also to lean on God's protection. You know, it's sickening to me that when a person faces death, quite often financial vultures show up that would just love to take advantage of grieving people and try to get wealthy off of their time of great sorrow. Oh, that God would give us his protection. Lean on God's protection and trust him. That's why it mentions the rod to chase away those enemies that would seek to destroy you in your time of difficulty, in your dark valley. When you go through that dark valley, expect some wolves to show up. They're going to growl at you. And if you are not watching the Lord, if you're not looking to the Lord and leaning on him, you could easily make a decision that you will greatly regret later on. Oh, but when we lean on him, he protects us. Notice what Psalm 20, verse number 7 says. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. We will remember the name of the Lord our God. Oh, my friends, we're going to walk through some dark valleys in our life. We're going to go through times that we never expected that we would face. I've been thinking about, from what I understand, about 70 now that have been lost in the flooding there in Central Texas. The last I heard, I heard there are still 11 little girls that have not yet been found. People right here in the DFW area whose hearts are torn and broken because their child is still not found. We will come to dark valleys. But when we come to them, we can walk through them. Not because we're so strong and powerful and ready, but because the Lord is with us. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort us. Oh, he doesn't want us to get paralyzed. He doesn't want us to run away from it. He just wants us to take one foot and lift it up, make another step, and another step as we walk through the valley. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Heavenly Father, would you please help us this week to see Jesus? Would you help us, Lord, to look to the Lord and lean on the Lord? Lord, I know that here within our church family, there are some that are suffering and hurting. Father, I pray that you would be with them. I pray that you would give them the comfort that they need. I pray that they could sense your presence in a very special way. And Lord, that together as a church, we could say with the psalmist, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thank you, Lord, for being so good to us. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, no one's looking around. How many here tonight would say, Brother Bill, I'm kind of going through a dark valley of my own right now, and I really need the Lord. And you'd say, would you please pray for me? That God would help me to make wise decisions and just to keep on going, keep on trusting, look to the Lord and lean on the Lord. You'd say, please pray for me. Would you raise your hand? I'd like to pray for you tonight. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I see hands all over the room. I'm sure that some are for illness, financial difficulties, perhaps the loss of a loved one, whatever that is. Oh, that God would help you. Maybe there'd be someone here tonight that would say, you know, Bill, I'm not sure I'm saved. If I die tonight, I'm not certain that I'd spend eternity with Christ in heaven. And you'd say, please pray for me. Pray that God would help me to know Jesus Christ as my Savior. Would you raise your hand and let me pray for you if that's your need tonight? Is there anyone at all? You'd say, please pray for me. I need to be saved. I need to know I'm on my way to heaven. I don't see any hands. Could we all stand here in the auditorium? Brother Corey is going to lead us in a hymn of invitation. If God has spoken to your heart and there's a desire, there's a need that you have, would you come and bring it to the Lord?